Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
To provide context, I'm a registered nurse in a small to mid-sized rural emergency department. I've been doing this job for about 4 years, and one of the biggest problems we've had in my time here has been the prevalence of drug abuse and mental illness. I don't live in a tiny, rinky-dink town, nor do I live in a huge metropolitan area, but imagine more of a middle-ground city and otherwise a highly rural area of farmlands and aforementioned rinky-dink towns. Given the size of my city, we deal with a lot of substance abuse and subsequent mental illness. The majority of cases we see are meth-induced. This is the PSA of my story, where I say, please, for the love of God, for your own sake and the people you love, do not do meth under any circumstances. It will absolutely and irreparably mess your life up in so many ways. One thing that many people don't realize is that hard drug use can lead to mental illness. A lot of the times, however, it's a chicken and egg scenario regarding whether the person had mental illness prior to the drug use or whether it was the cause. On this night, one of our local EMS crews was called for a person having a drug-induced psychosis. He was brought into our psychiatric holding area, being escorted by both the EMS crew and our local police officers. One glance at this guy and I could tell he was legitimately having a psychosis. He was in his mid-40s to mid-50s, had unkempt gray hair, unshaven, tattered, and dirty clothes. Imagine a movie's portrayal of the crazy homeless man archetype, and he fit the profile well. In typical psychosis fashion, he was extremely paranoid and was verbally hostile towards staff in fear of what he was perceiving as a threat against his life. Everyone was patient with him, and we were trying to de-escalate him without having to physically restrain him for his and our safety. But it was becoming apparent that we wouldn't be able to simply calm him down verbally. I talked to the doctor and we agreed to give him a shot of an antipsychotic. I drew it up into a syringe and headed back to the psych area. I entered the room and there were still a lot of people in there with him. We had a couple of our ER staff, at least one of our hospital security, and at least 3 or 4 police officers just trying to keep this guy together. Admittedly, he was doing slightly better than when I had left him a few minutes ago. The shouting was at a minimum now, and it looked like all he needed was the shot to help him relax. I approached him with the syringe and told him I would be giving him a shot, and obviously, he became paranoid because, again, he was perceiving us as trying to harm him. After a little more calming him down, I prepared to give him the shot in his right shoulder. I lifted up his t-shirt sleeve, cleaned the site, and grabbed the muscle while he was talking to one of the police officers. I told him that I was going to stick him and gave him the customary 1, 2, 3 countdown as I stuck the needle into his shoulder. A quick explanation of my shot-giving technique is necessary before moving ahead. When I give a shot, I hold the syringe by the barrel like you would hold a dart before throwing it, between my thumb and index finger with the needle pointing towards the patient, obviously. After the needle is in, I make a split-second move where I rotate my hand so that the barrel of the syringe is between my index and middle fingers, much like you would hold a cigarette. From there, my thumb is free to push the plunger and administer the medication. Anyway, shortly after I stick the needle in this guy, he apparently forgot that I would be sticking him despite my warning not seconds before. He proceeded to freak out at the worst possible time. He turned to look at his arm, clearly alarmed by the syringe poking out of him. At this point, I was getting ready to switch my grip on the syringe from the dart grip to the cigarette grip, but his reaction to getting stuck caused him to pull away from me just as my grip was changing. He leaned to his left and the syringe stayed in his arm as he moved away. From there, he pulled the syringe and still attached needle from his arm with his left hand, raised it, and went after me with it as a weapon. The officers reacted by this point and start to go for the guy to stop him. I heard one of them shout needle, which I assume was the police way of calling out the weapon present in the room. As they're subduing him, his momentum continued towards me. Still shocked, I tried my best to get out of the way, but still felt an impact as something hit my left thigh. The syringe and needle fell to the floor and I saw that the needle was bent. By now, almost everyone in the room was on the patient who was now screaming at the top of his lungs as staff worked to restrain him to the bed. I reached for the needle and syringe simply to get it out of the way for everyone else and to make sure that everyone had everything they needed during the restraint. At this point, I began to realize exactly what had happened and that I had been attacked. Oh God, please don't tell me that needle hit me. I was terrified thinking of what diseases and nasty shit this guy potentially had that I was exposed to. While contemplating my future life with HIV and hepatitis, I stepped into the bathroom to inspect the damage to my leg. I was so relieved when I found my leg was unscathed. The only explanation I can think of is that somehow the needle hit the pack of gum that was in my left pocket at the time. Wrigley, if you ever need a spokesperson, please have your people get in contact with my people. After the situation had resolved, one of the police officers approached me and asked if I wanted to press charges against the guy. I initially said no because I felt sorry for the guy. He had psychiatric problems, he can't control what he's doing. As that shift progressed, however, my feelings began to change. Why should I protect this guy because he was methed out of his mind and attacked me? Why should I let this guy get away with giving me anxiety and making me feel uneasy for the rest of my career with psych patients? I later called the officer back and pressed charges against the patient. As of about 2 years ago, nothing has come of the charges because the patient wasn't in his right mind. Again, please, for everyone's sake, don't do meth. This next story is from the same person, so consider it a continuation. After a couple of years of career development, I found myself in a leadership role in the ER. I had been given the title of night shift charge nurse over my department and my confidence was high. I finally had the opportunity to show everyone my leadership skills and how well I could run the department. I truly thought I could make a difference. On this night, one of our ambulances got called for a car versus semi collision. The patient was the driver of the car and was in his 30s or 40s. The medics in the ambulance mentioned that the collision may have been intentional as a suicide attempt. There was no obvious injuries that I noted when he first arrived and he appeared to be calm. When I saw that the situation was under control, I stepped back and looked over the rest of the department. I didn't hear anything about him for the rest of the time that he was there. I don't remember why, but he was going to be admitted to the hospital. So the nurse called report to the floor and we arranged for transport to his room upstairs. Because he could have possibly attempted suicide, he was placed in a one-to-one watch while he was in the ER, so the tech that was doing the watch was going to take him upstairs. Additionally, because he was a one-to-one watch, they needed to be escorted by a security guard. According to the tech, he had been asleep for quite some time prior to his transport. The security guard arrived and the tech woke the patient up for the transport. Once he woke up, all hell broke loose. He immediately got up from the bed and began talking nonsense, eventually escalating to yelling nonsense. With my workstation being right outside the room, I got up and went straight into the room. When I entered through the curtain, I saw the tech and the security guard standing opposite of the guy trying to talk him down. At this point, the guy was standing in the middle of the room, bare-ass naked, and had ripped out his IV. His posturing was threatening, and things looked like it would get violent unless the situation diffused. The security guard immediately called for backup and calmly tried to approach the patient. It was at this point that the guy attacked the guard by punching him in the face. The patient continued to go after the guard, but the guard managed to get him pinned against some cabinets in the room. I stepped up to try to hold the patient's arms back. I yelled for the secretary at the nurse's station to call the police. Not long afterward, the other security guard arrived and tried to help. To paint a better picture, the patient is standing with his back against a counter in some cabinets, still yelling nonsensically in his psychotic tangent. Security guard one is bear hugging him around his chest and abdomen, much like a football tackle. I'm standing by the patient's side between him and the door, doing my best to hold his arms back from hitting anybody else. Enter the second guard, who approached the patient from the front and was trying to see what he could do to help. He unfortunately got too close, and the patient saw an opportunity. He cocked his head back in a split second and headbutted the second guard in the face with full force. The patient's head struck the guard right above his brow, which immediately split open and began dripping blood. That loud, dull thud of bare skull-on-skull contact is a sickening sound that I will never forget. Immediately following that, we got the patient's feet out from under him and brought him down to the floor. The security guard with his head gashed open was still trying to help us and was dripping blood all over the floor and the patient. By this time, other people had heard the commotion and came to help. The secretary had called 911 and we were just waiting on the police to get there. All we had to do was keep this guy held down. Granted, this was about an average-sized guy, but he was still quite the fighter. We simply were unable to hold him down on the ground by his limbs, so I ended up kneeling with my entire weight onto his back to keep him down. Again, my entire 250-pound frame was kneeling with my entire weight on this guy's back and was barely phasing him. He kept shouting for his little buddy to come save him so that they could run away to Alaska or something like that. When I think back on the situation, it was honestly kind of sad. This guy was clearly having a psychotic episode and didn't intentionally try to harm us. But in that moment, all I felt was rage. White, hot, boiling rage for what he did to my coworkers and friends. If I knew there wouldn't be any repercussions for my actions, I can't say that I wouldn't have beaten the absolute piss out of the guy in the moment. After the police arrived, we were able to get the patient restrained to the bed and sedated him without any issue. Once the situation was more under control, we registered both of the security guards for treatment. The first guard had no injuries and the other guard had his wound stitched up. Other than the wound on his head and being slightly dazed, he was fine. No one else was injured during the event. Shortly after I walked out of the room, the gravity of what had just happened hit me really hard. I quickly made my way to an empty room and closed the door before I absolutely lost it. I sobbed as silently as I could as I contemplated what had just happened. This guy had just gone full-blown apeshit on us and there was absolutely nothing I could do. I was the leader of these people, and they were put into a dangerous situation in what is supposed to be one of the safest places in the community. One of my responsibilities was to keep things under control, and I had just messed that up in a major way. Maybe I wasn't as capable of doing this job as I thought. I took a few minutes to let my emotions run their course and collected myself before heading back out to finish the shift. Not long after that incident, I stepped down from being a charge nurse, both for reasons related and unrelated to these events. I've since gone back to being a regular staff nurse in the ER, and I honestly prefer that. I haven't gone back to the charge nurse role again, and most likely never will. I still get anxious before every shift I work, always worrying about what dangerous situation my coworkers and I may face in the ensuing 12-hour shift. I'm a night shift nurse who has been working at a veterans hospital for the past 3 years. My unit is located at the basement of the hospital. I chose to do 12-hour night shifts because it was quiet and relaxing for the most part before the rush begins in the morning after we leave. Last night, I was sitting at the nurse's station at 12:30 a.m. catching up on The Walking Dead, and I had the urge to use the restroom. I go into the restroom, do my business, and everything seemed completely normal. This restroom is a unisex restroom, so the entire staff uses it. As I process to head to the sink to wash my hands and kind of stare at my face in the mirror to see if I look tired enough yet, I hear a slow sliding sound coming from one of the ceiling tiles above. It moves open, exposing the roofing, and just sits there. Now, I'm not the bravest person in the world, but since my curiosity hasn't killed me yet, I decided to hide behind the wall that divided the main sink from the stalls and just wait quietly to see what was going on up there. In the midst of this silence, a man's legs began creeping out from the roof opening. This is when I knew I had to officially run. I was practically shitting bricks at this point. He drops into the restroom as I'm flinging the door open and screaming bloody murder into the hallway of sleeping patients. He grabs the back of my scrubs and we both fall to the floor. My coworkers, who most definitely got startled as hell, ran to my rescue. They separated us, thank God. However, I had a faint scratch on my right cheek. He had a pair of wound care scissors in his hand. Security was called as my male coworkers detained him. I was in a state of hysteria and was ready to go home in the middle of the shift. It turned out the young man was a newly admitted psych patient who was trying to escape from the upper hospital floors. Apparently, his family forcefully brought him to the emergency room, and they were waiting for him to get cleared to go to psych. No one is completely sure how he could get away and end up in the restroom ceiling. The freaking restroom ceiling. Currently, my nursing supervisor and I have decided to switch me to work morning shifts now, but on a different unit. Unfortunately, after this event, now I really know what authentic fear feels like.